Warning, the following podcast contains coarse language and spoilers for the film and the title of the podcast.
Now playing movie reviews in 20 Qs.
Hello, you goddamn fantastic people, and welcome to the podcast Movie Reviews in 20 Qs, the show where we review a movie by asking 20 questions about it. I say movie, I don't know if this is a movie. Sometimes it's a porno, guys. But anyway, showing my cards too early. Joining us this week, he's making his return after Space Jam. I thought that would have broken him, but he's back. It's Dory. How you going, Dory?
I'm very good, Sam. Glad to be back and glad to be doing a movie with a bit of substance for a change.
Yes. Is that substance silicone?
Don't speak that.
The other person joining us? Oh, you've already heard his voice. It's a triumph return. It's almost 88 episodes since he's been on, since episode 100. Mitch, welcome back.
Thank you. Has it been that long?
It's been that long.
Jeez.
You left us, Mitch. You moved cities and never came back.
I have. But thank you for having me back. And I'm glad I don't have to use my subscription fund to watch the visuals that were this movie.
Yeah, you wouldn't pay for this, would you? Mitch, you'd never seen this before. No, what were your expectations?
I think just by the tones, the undertones that you guys put forward, I knew there was going to be some serious visuals here. So let's just say it did not disappoint.
Excellent. When we pitched this to you at work, I must admit, me and Dory started giggling like schoolgirls. I think is the best way to describe it.
Schoolgirls would be the apt way to describe it.
And in this scenario, you being the two schoolgirls and Absolutely. Me being the... What was he? Guidance counselor.
Guidance counselor.
So maybe it is fitting in this scenario.
Maybe. Usually we run through the plot. Dory, do you want to give a plot?
The plot of this film is that there is a school in Blue Bay, Tampa, and there is a guidance counselor with some pretty damn hot students, of which he is accused of raping one of them. They go through some wild court scenes and turns out that it's all just a sham to weasel some money out of the rich parents. That leads to about 15 double crosses and that's the movie.
The funny part was I threw it to you thinking you were just going to go, I don't fucking know, but you've gone and smashed it out of the fucking park. Looking at the scores for this film, 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb, 63% on Rotten Tomatoes and 52% on Metacritic. It's fairly middle of the road, but generally quite positive. It stars Nev Campbell, Kevin Bacon, Bill Murray, Matt Dillon, Denise Richards. So we'll just get into our usual spiel. If you haven't heard this podcast before, what we do is we review a movie, by asking 20 weird or wonderful questions about it. We start with 10 that can be applied to any film. We then move into 3 personal questions before finishing on a listener question or a Patreon question. The one we start with is the sandwich question, which is one thing good and one thing bad and one thing good about this film, if we liked it. Mitch, since you're like making your return, why don't you lead us off?
Sure thing. Let's start off with the obvious, and the most positive out of this film is some solid boobage.
That's why I called it a boobie.
Yeah. A negative, I was annoyed and frustrated with Susie's squinty face. It's just, I don't know, just takes me back to the Scream days. And yeah, just kind of annoyed me.
She's got a weird sort of manic pixie girl, but kind of like really needs to take a shit.
Sulky.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, I don't know, annoys me. And she just kind of like leans on the side of like the table or the room and just kind of gets away from, you know, the action. Just frustrated me anyway. And the final compliment is Bill Murray, of course. He was the solid character that this film needed, and what a pleasant surprise, me being fresh to watching this movie, of seeing Bill Murray's face in this film. So
the bizarre part for me was having seen it quite a few times as a kid and just completely forgetting he's in this. Like when he popped up, I was like, it's fucking Bill Murray. What the fuck is he doing in this?
And he fits the role so well.
Yeah,
you know, it's that role is meant for him, to the point where he's wearing that neck brace, it's him to a T.
Oh, fuck yeah, absolutely. Cool, as a score out of 10,000 neck braces, speaking of which.
I think I'll give it a solid 7,001.
7,001.
I enjoyed it. My usual stock standard reference point is a, you know, a 6.5, and I'd recommend this to somebody, and actually I did today. So, yeah, stick to my 7001.
Over to you.
Yep, I'll give it a compliment sandwich. First good thing about it is the cast in general. Like, it's a pretty big name cast, as you've covered over. Like, there are, you know, even for non-movie buffs, there are at least five people that everyone's heard of in this movie. And if you tried to sort of recreate that, maybe they weren't as big a names as they were going to be at the time, but that's just good scouting, I guess. Negative thing, I watched this with my wife, and she pointed out straight away, no, it was the background scores, like the music that went with the movie. It was corny and dated, and it just sort of, you know, when you try to set the scene with a bit of background music, it cringed, and it was noticeable. You're not supposed to notice it. It's just supposed to set a mood.
And when you do notice
that's a problem.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
It's either the best fucking score you've ever heard, or it's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. And final good thing is it's pretty controversial. There's lots of, like, sort of cringy, you know, like, you don't know where you fall, you don't know who you trust, who you like this, and that flip-flops through the movie. So I feel like, you know, it's a good, I wouldn't call it a thinking movie, but it strikes emotions.
Pulls your emotions, yeah. That's kind of what I was just thinking then, yeah.
Mm. Interestingly, it has been billed as a film with four antagonists.
Yeah, fair enough.
Which is, like, pretty unusual for a film. Like, unless it's like, okay, this is an entire villain piece, sure. But you don't realise that any of these people are the antagonists until it fucking strips away.
I like what you did there.
I think Mitch was about bang on.
Bang on, I see what you did there.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there.
You know, 7,123 neck braces. Oh, I think, like, that's about what it is.
This is kind of funny for me because I literally want to give it a shit sandwich, but I want to give it a positive score. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many bad things in this film. Don't get me wrong. There's so many fucking terrible things in this film. Yet, like, first good thing, like, yeah, the twist upon twist upon twist. Like, I generally sort of remembered what had happened originally when I first watched it. But as it played out, I was like, holy fucking shit, where the fuck is this going? You know, like, after 20 years of having not watched it, it was like, well, fuck, this is pretty awesome. The bad thing, the first 15, 20 minutes takes a while to get where it's going to try and go. It's kind of awkward because we talked about doing this, and the first 5-10 minutes I text you guys, I was like, I don't think we should be doing this.
Like, valid.
I really don't think we should be doing this. And then, yeah, final good thing is what these guys mentioned. The performances, and I'll go into a little detail about one of them a little bit later, but the performances is like no one really sort of mentions Denise Richards in a brief of, like, Oscar-worthy performances or anything, but she crashes in this. Like, she's really good. Nev Campbell's really good. Matt Dillon, Kevin Bacon, Bill Murray, even, like, the other ones, like Robert Wagner and all that sort of shit. Like, there's no slouches in this, which is quite surprising from a film like this, which is pretty much like the softcore porn that we used to watch at midnight here in New Zealand.
Oh, if you came across this at, like, kind of 10:30, 11, when you just went to bed, you'd be fucking stoked.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be pitching a tent in bed, that's for sure.
100%, man.
Absolutely. As a score out of 10,000, yeah, about 6,969.
Pretty good average.
69. What was your... anyway, guys, we actually have a very special treat because I know, like, after we teed up Showgirls, I mean, after we did Showgirls, we obviously had to do Wild Things together. But unfortunately, we have one of our friends out there in the podcast universe, Emily Higgins, who is, like, one of the biggest fucking fans of Wild Things, right?
Yeah.
So just as a special treat for you, our listeners, I reached out to her and said, do you want to send us your sandwich? So we're going to listen to Emily's sandwich. I'm going to insert it, and then we're going to offer our thoughts on what Emily had to say.
Okay, all right.
But here we go.
Hi, this is Emily butting in to make sure that everyone here is making the right choices. I got a hyperbole sandwich to share about this incredible film, okay? Compliment one, this cast. Look at it. Guys, Denise Richards, obviously, I mean, the train of hits that she had between this, Starship Troopers, Drop Dead Gorgeous, The World Is Not Enough. Movies that I love, except for James Bond, because who cares? But the others, fantastic. Nev Campbell, right? We love her. Scream, incredible. Them together, great. Bill Murray is here. Matt Dillon, Kevin Costner, sure, whatever. Denise Richards' mom, who looks like Kim Cattrall, but isn't. Shocking fact. This movie has so many beautiful late 90s people, so many thick eyebrows, which I appreciate. Middle compliment, even greater compliment. Great thing, not just a good thing. The twists, okay? I don't care if you think it's stupid now. The last 5 minutes of credit sequence of insanity of being like, actually this, actually know this, actually this. Love it. Great. Good. Because you know what? Final compliment. This is a great twisty thriller mystery. And I think it all makes sense. And I think that you can't find a single plot hole in this incredible film. Also, remember that phone Denise Richards uses in it? It's the biggest phone. It's so funny. That twist moment when Denise and Matt Dillon get together and you're like, what? And then Nev Campbell's there too with the champagne. What? Incredible film. 10,000 out of 10,000 neck braces.
Whoa. Whoa.
Whoa. That's all I think we can say to that. Emily, aside from the fact of, I don't know, Kevin Costner, wasn't it?
Yeah. Man. I thought I was just getting a boner, but Emily must have been finger bashing the shit out of herself for this one.
Emily, just great to hear from you. It's been a while. From my end, not yours. Couple of synergies there. Cast. There's a link there.
Yeah, I think she nailed it, but I think she just had a different spin on it than we did, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's move us over to our set of questions. First up is question two. First of our Patreon questions, this question comes courtesy of our man, Dave Baker. Dave has his own Patreon as well at patreon.com/yourfavorite. On it, he posts a ton of awesome content, video essays on Medium, YouTube recommendations, all that sort of good stuff. But this week, Dave, it's a special treat. Mitch is going to read out your question. So what's his question there, Mitch?
Hey, Dave. I hope you're well. The question this week is, what two characters would you want with you at a house party?
It's pretty easy for me. I want Mrs. Van Ryan, a.k.a. Sandra Van Ryan, which is Kelly's mum.
Who greets you quite...
She wears zero clothes. Yeah, she's an old cougar. She's loaded. And she looks like she knows how to have a good time.
Oh, well, she does, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know the second person's name, but we'll just call him the alligator trainer from the trailer park.
Oh, sure, yeah.
He, like, dude, he's a barrel of laughs.
Oh,
like,
shit.
He puts his head in alligators' mouths. He seems down to earth. And, you know, he's into entertaining. So both of these people, I think, would keep you very much entertained at a party.
So I reckon he would happily take on the alligator, but I reckon he'd be a little bit intimidated by Emma's mum.
Exactly. So there wouldn't be any competition there. She'd be left for you.
I believe the guy's name's Walter. Yeah, that's a good pick.
Walter.
Very good pick.
Yeah.
I forgot about Walter.
I'm on the same tact as you with Denise's mum. God, she knows how to party. And she's loaded.
Yep.
And so what I was thinking was get her there, get her boozed up.
You'd go to her house. Why would you get her there? The party would be at her house.
Yeah, good fucking point. Okay, yeah, go to her place.
It's a party house.
Have a good time. But I want to take along Bill Murray because I want to sue this bitch as well. I know she doesn't have much money left after Denise Richard, all these guys took it. But fuck it. If I'm not going to go there, have a good party, have a good time, and then fucking cash out on the way out.
It sounds like a good idea.
I like it. I feel... I'm regretting my choices now. since there's so much, you know, female content in your face, I'm like, fuck this. We need a lads. We need a lads.
Boys night.
Boys night. Boys night. So I've gone for Principal Art as my first. Just and stay with me here. Stay with me here.
Oh, we
because
are.
I feel Principal Art and Bill Murray is on the complete other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And I feel a good house party is when it's not when you have all the crazies together, but it's when you manage to convince the frigids to convert into crazies.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that absolutely is my pitch there.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. And with the lads, and I feel like Bill Murray, you know, neck brace, he'll manage to convince Principal Art, and we need to corrupt him. Everyone else is fucking corrupt in this movie. How do we get him across the line?
Yep. I like it. I like it.
I think we can turn that square into a octagon.
Circle? Just go circle. Moves us over to question number three. What is it? Dory.
Question number three. Which character in this film would totally fall for a pyramid scheme?
Are we all going to go with the same answer of Kevin Bacon?
Well, no, actually, I went for Kelly.
Okay.
I feel like she kind of fell for a pyramid scheme. She got conned.
She did.
She was the first off the rank to get done, really.
Yep.
You know? Yeah,
she was the first double cross, and she lost big time.
Exactly. And what happened in your pyramids game? If you're in that slot, you're fucked.
And to be fair, she had the least to gain. Like, the money she...
It was coming anyway.
It was hers, right?
That's a good point, actually.
She embezzled her own money.
What an idiot. She took the biggest risk, and she lost the most. So,
surely a smarter scheme would have been to have her mum killed, right?
100%.
Isn't it when she gets the money?
You get the inheritance. Yeah. She got... played the hardest.
Yeah. The only reason went for Kevin Bacon is because he just seems like a general dum-dum. You know, like, he was the only one that wasn't trying to kill the others. I mean, okay, admittedly he does kill Denise Richards' character, but he does it in a way that I don't fucking know. I don't know where that was coming from. He just struck me as the type of dude that threw away a successful police career to have a shot at some money with a dodgy motherfucker. I get it. Like, you know, he's dodgy as fuck as well. Sure. But something about him just made me think, he showed up at his house... some Tupperware.
Well, what's...
Can I agree to disagree here?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I love about this podcast.
I think that you're fully wrong. Because you're close to the truth, but you've got it all wrong.
Okay.
Please expand.
The most foolish person in this movie, who has the wool pulled over their eyes the whole time, is Kevin Bacon's sidekick, the female detective.
Oh, yeah.
She was my second choice.
At least Kevin Bacon's in on it.
Yeah, like, yeah. She's got no idea.
She's got no idea the whole time.
She is
being led the whole way. And then even at the end where she has, like, she's got a crush on the main villain of the movie, and he takes her into her room and, like, sort of half seduces her, looks like he's about to fuck her, even though she knows he is bad, and she still kind of would go for it. You can see she's like, if you want to do this right now, do it. And then he just leaves her hanging.
I think she's just generally pretty thirsty. It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while since she's had a bit of action. You know, so she's... Any kind of taste she can get, she'll take it.
She's an idiot.
Oh, shit, yeah.
She is.
No, fair call. Fair
call. Yeah, no, fair call. She was my second choice. Anywho, it moves us over to question number 4. What quote from this film would be the worst to hear immediately after you finish having sex?
The most famous quote from this film is... no little bitch could ever make me come. If someone said that to me, like, after sex, I think it would crush my, like, my soul. I don't think I could probably ever have sex again and feel like I've done a good job.
Yeah.
At the moment...
Listeners, if.
Yeah.
If he's ever heard that before, if.
It's really annoying when it rhymes with something you've heard, like, no little Mitch can make... would make me so it's kind of like, oh, fuck, this is way too close to the... Nah.
Too close to the bone, man.
I'm a big boy.
Fuck you, at least I came.
It's a race, right?
No, mine was when Kelly's like, I miss Dad. And she's like... Yeah. Oh, Jesus. I'm like, fucking hell, please.
Who's your daddy?
Yeah.
I'm going to admit that there's, like, okay, for a film in which a guy named Sam gets accused of sex crimes, there's 1,000. There's 1,000 for me. Of course there's 1,000. But the one I'm going to go with, and I don't necessarily agree with the use of the R word, is, are you retarded or just brain dead from whiffing fumes out there in the swamp?
I've got to actually clarify. When you said the R word, there was a few different words that went through my head. I didn't think you were going to come with retarded.
Well, Dory being a ginger was like, don't call me Ranger again, mate. I'll fucking slap you.
I'll fucking storm out of here, cunt. Anywho, moves us over to question number 5. What is it there, Mitch?
Question number 5 is, what was the biggest load of bullshit in this movie?
The biggest load of bullshit in this movie was Kevin Bacon being included in the movie at all.
Just what, as in not required?
Not required whatsoever. Can I clarify? Like,
well, please expand. Expand.
Yes, please tell me how he's a dumbass and to fall for a pyramid scheme.
Okay, for a start, why would you get Kevin Bacon involved in the whole thing? Like, they had it covered already. And then when they have pulled off the initial lawsuit and got the money,
As in, why do you involve him in the con? Is that what you're saying?
Why are you involving him in the con? He's unnecessary. Yeah. He serves zero purpose.
Why tell him where you're going?
Why tell him where you're going?
I'm going to the Caribbean. What island are you going to? Somalia.
After they pull off the con and get the money, Kevin Bacon's the one sniffing around going, this isn't right. It's a con. And he's the one actually sort of leading the police to the fact that it is a deception.
Yeah,
if he was in on it, he would just be like, shut up. Okay, it's gone away.
Let it go.
So that was literally going to be one of my questions. It was, what the fuck is Kevin Bacon up to?
Like, what the fuck's he up to?
Because, like, he doing that to get rid of Denise Richards?
He serves no purpose in the whole con.
Yeah.
He's irrelevant. He kills the main character in the whole thing for no apparent reason.
That's what I feel like he was trying to do, was trying to get rid of her so that he could be with him. Like, it sort of implied that they're hooking up.
This is, I'll get to this later from my end, but I feel like there's a bit of a thing there.
Yeah.
100%.
But how can, I mean, maybe it's sign of the times, but, you know, yeah, let's, two gay chicks, great, let's fucking show heaps of that. Mm. Two gay dudes, I will allude to it.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah. Subtle hints.
Come on, 1998, sort it out.
I want to see some dick. No.
I read in the trivia that they cut a scene of the two of them, the two guys.
Hold on. I thought this was the extended version.
Extended uncut version. Oh. No. Apparently, they cut a scene of the two guys in the shower because it was too gratuitous. A film in which we have random lesbian attack into lesbian sex, that was too gratuitous. Seeing two of them in a shower together. Just showering, not hooking up, gratuitous.
You know, lathering up my back type of thing.
Yeah, just, you know, scrub my back. Yeah.
Well, that's a football team thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Even if it was gay, who cares? It's 2021. Yeah. Well, it's 1998.
Even if the game was on Saturday and this was Wednesday night, it's fine.
It's called training, Sam.
It's true. The one for me is that we see a pair of teenage kids standing outside watching Denise Richards and another girl wash his car. And then later on, we see Denise Richards leave, and they're still outside playing basketball. I'm sorry, those two kids are off somewhere, batting off. There's no way they watched those girls do that and then just went, okay. We see them checking them out, man. I was a teenage boy at that age. If I'd seen that shit.
Two girls turn up to a car wash wearing nothing but white clothing.
Yeah, white clothing, spraying each other with hoses, getting wet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be the only ones needing a mop and bucket.
Exactly. Exactly. My tack onto that was that Denise Richards went into that house soaking wet, came out bone dry. I know she got boned, but I don't know if she was going to be bone dry.
Look, mate, I don't know if you've had some serious sessions before, but if you do it right...
No.
I usually get them more wet, Mitch.
Oh. I do the ironing.
Show off.
The drying. My thought for this was...
Oh, yeah, you do the drying, bro.
Oh, my God, keep going. Keep drying.
Yes.
Keep drying me.
Oh, my God, if you do the dishes after this, I am going to come.
Take out the rubbish.
So close to the truth.
All the wives out there, you know it's true.
So true.
I think the biggest bullshit, really, was that the fact that Lombardo shagging Kelly's mum didn't come out until, like, the live court case. Dude, everyone knew about that.
Yeah, you know, it was common knowledge.
It was common knowledge. And then only at that point does it break out. And it was a surprise to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was a little bit, come on, man. That's a bit of a stretch. And I think it's a pivotal point in the movie where you're like, oh, fuck, shit's going Lombardo's way, you know?
100%.
I must admit, one of my other questions was going to be, why do you reckon Kelly's dad killed himself? But I think it's pretty obvious, right? The mom was banging every dude in town.
Well, if your missus was chilling in the balcony with cans 90% out, you know, you'd be questioning life, wouldn't you?
I feel like he was rich enough to replace her.
Well, he replaced her
the rich person?
No.
Like, wasn't he cuckolded in the situation? So he was just like, fuck it, I'll kill myself. My daughter's a fucking idiot and... My wife's a bit of a hoe bag.
Yeah, I got the impression it was his money.
Well, there you go.
That's why her money was tied up in a trust when he died, because it was all from him.
Hey, there we go. Dory was paying attention to the story.
I fucking love economics, okay? I've been trying to figure out how to marry into money for some time. My wife and I both acknowledged that was our big fuck up. We both married poor people.
Amen, brother. Anywho, question number 6, another Patreon question. This question comes courtesy of our man Dan Brennick of Netflix and Swill, an awesome podcast that covers all things Netflix related. Go check them out. I'll be on an episode in December talking about Witcher Season 2. Cannot wait for that. But what's this question there, Dory?
The question number 6 is, what character was the true MVP of this film?
First of all, I think we've got to rule out Matt Dillon's character as being the main character, right?
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, because that's obvious.
Yeah. I think he's got the most airtime, but the one for me is at the end we see Neve Campbell come out of the bottom of the boat and she's wearing a blonde wig, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for a character who's not in the film. I'm going for whoever sold her that blonde wig, because that was fucking horrendous. And if you could make an ugly blonde wig like that and sell it to her, then fucking good for you, man.
Was it a wig was it just hair dye?
Yeah, that's the other thing. Okay, maybe she gave herself her own haircut.
That would be
more believable.
Can I take it one further as well? Like, who fixed her teeth? Because she ripped her teeth out, but she had teeth on the yacht.
They thought of it. Here
we go.
Maybe the same guy who did her hair.
Maybe the same guy.
He was like an orthodontist /
barber
salon.
Yeah.
You know.
Jack of all trades.
Yeah. Maybe in the Caribbean you can get that at a one-stop shop.
Mate, let's be honest. If you've got, 8.5 mil?
Yeah.
Ready to go. You'll get a tooth and a wig or hair dye straight off the bat, man. Come on.
Good.
I went for a minor character, but, mate, he piqued the interest. It was our mate Jimmy. Jimmy the boat student.
Yeah, Jimbo. Yeah.
I think Jimmy the boat student is, let's be honest, we're no one else in this movie. We're Jimmy.
Yeah.
We are Jimmy.
Yeah, you know, we're just a hanger-oner.
You're a hanger-oner.
But he was fucking funny. Like, he had some good lines.
Good lines. And, you know, when he's in the Jeep and you're next to Denise Richards, he's showing the emotions that we all would.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, cringingly awkward, trying to get her attention.
Oh, yeah. No. Is he trying to get the attention, or is he just, gobsmacked that he's managed to sit next to the hottest chick in his year and he's touching thighs?
Yeah, 100%. Good on you, Jimmy.
Not getting any.
Jimmy, I love you, mate.
Good on you, Jimmy.
What about you, Dory?
I went for the trailer park manager, the woman.
Yeah.
You know, she actually seemed to basically have the whole story down pat, as you found out in the credits, but she sort of had her finger on the pulse the whole time about the whole scene with the rich people, the poor people. She was the missing link.
If you want goss...
Yeah, you'd talk to her, for
100%,
sure. Yeah,
100%. She knows what's going on.
She knew everyone's backstory.
Yeah.
And nothing seemed to faze her either, where the cops busting or, whoever it is rocking up. She was cool, calm, collected, dragging on her cigarette. She knew how to handle herself.
She was literally Wikipedia and Ancestry.com rolled into fucking one, right?
Yeah, 100%.
It was amazing, yeah.
I feel like she's also the character where, or the person you know in real life where you're like, did you hear about Sandra?
Yeah.
But then also, when the cops rock up, you're like, hey, don't fucking fuck around with Sandra. She'll kind of, back you and still, yeah.
Anywho, that moves us over to question number 7. You guys have already answered this for me, but what's something that you guys noticed in this film that you don't think other people might have immediately noticed? So I'm just going to cut in there. My one was literally old mate in the fucking, what was it, Land Rover or whatever?
Oh, yeah,
and Jeep he's sitting beside like that, and he's got the most creepiest look on his face. He's just like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, my God, this guy is fucking creepy. But Mitch, take it away.
Yeah, probably no one noticed this one, but Denise Richards' nipples.
No. Really? When?
Yeah, you missed it. It was side, corner of 13 minutes 52.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and you just get a little glimpse.
Do you reckon anyone?
Probably not.
And then,
you're kidding me.
On top of that, when she's in her bathing suit, you can actually see through it.
Denise Richards.
I'm going to have to go back and rewatch.
I feel like I've watched a different film.
my real one
is Kevin Bacon's penis.
Well, yeah. Also, 13 minutes 57. Where Professor Lombardo, when he's actually acting in some, assembly type scenario where he's writing up on the chalkboard what we're discussing at this attendance, and in huge capital letters is the word sex, and then crammed in to the right side of the board is the word crimes. And you can tell he's just like, as he's writing, he's like, fuck, I need to fit the S in here.
I've done that so many times. Like, you know, yes, when you get given a confined amount of space to write something and you start off in size 48 font and by the end of it, you're down to size 8. It's like, S.
I thought you were meaning there that you've had so many times you've had to write down sex crimes on a form or something.
I thought you were going to go where I went really hard with sex and didn't think about anything else or anyone else.
Yeah.
What about you, Dora? Did you notice the nipples?
Yeah, did you notice the nipples?
Now you mention
Bacon's
it.
Bacon's penis.
I thought I did notice a bit of nipple, but I was too busy whacking off. I can't remember.
Valid.
One thing that I noticed that I don't think other people did, and I think this is actually pretty accurate. I'm a C guy.
Right? Oh, yeah. Your name is Dory, yeah, for a particular reason.
Yeah, I'm right into my fishing and boating and stuff. At the start of the movie with Jimbo, who's getting a lot of airplay, by the way, for a very minor character.
Three lines in the movie, and yeah, we've talked about it more than Nev Campbell.
Yeah, correct. Dylan. Yeah. So Sam and Jimbo are talking about, you know, how
don't call him Sam.
When Sam and Jimbo are looking at these two, at this massive, awesome boat cruising across the harbour, and Jimbo's like, that's what I want. And Sam goes, nah, mate, that's not what you want. You want that shitty old yacht over there. That's a real boat.
What did you just say?
He's fucking wrong. You want the first boat. Don't listen to Sam. That's the moral.
Don't listen to Sam, yeah.
Well, the fact that you said one was a yacht.
Yeah, one was a yacht. It wasn't even a boat, for sure.
Doesn't even qualify, right?
I mean, North American people, you may argue, you know, yachts and boats. You guys, I'm talking about a sailboat.
The traditional.
A sailboat, that's a yacht. And a cruise ship, that's a boat.
I love it.
Thanks, Dory. Moves us over to question number 8. Also a Patreon question, comes courtesy of our man Julio of the Contrarians podcast, a podcast which rages against the Rotten Tomatoes machine. So they'll take a universally beloved film and argue why it's shit, and then you can offer their real talk at the end. Alternatively, they take a hated film and say why it's good, and then same thing, offer their real talk at the end. Did a great episode recently called The Embrys. I'm very proud of you guys. It was pretty awesome. But anywho, what's the question there, Mitch?
The question is, what is your most controversial opinion about this film, Dory?
I struggled with this one. There's a few. I think maybe the fact that it's a fucking shit movie, but somehow it's fucking great.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
It's fucking shit. Like, I think Emily almost touched on it in a positive light with her compliment sandwich, and she sort of pointed out that there's so many holes in this movie. It doesn't work. Nothing actually really makes sense, Emily. But it keeps you're riveted.
You're captivated the whole time.
It might have been something about those nips that you suggested. Well, maybe I subliminally noticed them.
Or Kevin Bacon's hog.
Yeah, Kevin Bacon's massive schlong. But it's shit. But
can I take that one further? And it ties into my answer. I think the fact that we enjoyed it, but the fact that I'd probably enjoy a remake,
Ooh. Is
the point where I'm like, that's the controversial.
That is controversial.
So, like,
given that remakes are never ever popular,
Space Jam was pretty good.
Oh, fucking Space Jam was amazing.
If you'd like to watch our episode on Space, then click here.
but that's shit sandwich.
That's my controversial opinion.
I actually agree with you, Mitch. I actually agree. I am going to go very controversial because there's a lot of fans of Bill Murray out there. I'm going to say this is Bill Murray's best performance.
Ooh.
Wow.
I mean, right. I like we all love Ghostbusters, right? We all love Groundhog Day. We all love Lost in Translation. Lost in Translation maybe is our best performance, but there's something about this from start to finish, and maybe it's because he's such a short role. Like, he's only in it for about 20 minutes.
Well, as you said, start to finish, that's probably a key thing to consider. He is not there from start to finish. He's not a cameo, but
multiple cameos.
Yeah, he is. And he's a little bit of relief.
Yeah.
He's a little bit of relief as to what this film kind of needs, you know?
Is he the only person that's sort of fun? in this movie. Like, everyone else is very dry balls.
In a lot of ways. And that's what I was sort of saying, the first 15, 20, 35 minutes or whatever, before he shows up, you're like, what the fuck am I watching?
Well, he doesn't give a fuck, right?
Yeah, like, honestly, I think he thought he was in a different movie. You know what I mean? Like, this is around the time.
That's pretty Bill Murray, isn't it? It's like, Nick Brace for this film or
yeah, exactly. Down the road. But like he was filming, I think Kingpin came out like 1996. Like, it's that sort of oddball, weird fucking comedy where he's just come into it and they've told him, oh, hey, you're going to be in this movie. And he's gone, oh, great, sounds funny. And then he's just like played it comedically as fuck and then just walked away and gone, what the fuck was I just in?
Controversial opinion, but Bill Murray's character has been recreated. You do realize this. It's Saul Goodman.
Oh, fuck yeah, it's a Saul Goodman. Ooh, fuck yeah, it is Saul Goodman.
That's exactly who he is. He's Saul Goodman.
He is Saul Goodman, yeah. Must admit, favourite scene of the movie is when we see the shot of everybody wearing their neck braces and we've all worked out that he's managed to get them all this like fucking money, like insurance claim money. I was like, that is, it's a Saul Goodman move. It's just so Saul Goodman.
Holy shit. There you go. The cast is being formed.
Yeah. So, definitely. Call Saul will be in this movie.
Can we recast this movie by the end of this podcast?
We can. Bob Odenkirk for Bill Murray. There we go. That's the first start.
There you go. All right. There we go. I like that.
Anywho, that takes us down to question number 9. What is it there, Dory?
What is the biggest dick move in this movie? And there's lots of them.
There is lots. I've got a top 3. So I'm going to let you guys go first so I don't steal your guys' one.
Well, you can't do 3, mate. Like, you're fucking outshining everyone. If you go straight to biggest dick move, I think it's harpooning your getaway partner. I mean, that's fucking pretty dick move, isn't it? You've got it set. It's just you two now. It's just you two. You've got an agreement. And then you fucking decide, especially when old mate, you've just convinced him to go and tie up what you need to. He's fucking kicked off. And then you decide, oh yeah, I'll harpoon this motherfucker.
Yeah. Out at sea. He's trying to have a holiday. And you're like, see ya.
Poison him first and then harpooned him.
Yeah.
Oh, valid.
Why take the risky approach? You know, like, he even manages to climb up that fucking rope and back onto the boat.
Yeah.
Do it one and done. Just shoot him in the head with a gun.
Yeah. Yeah. Spear gun wouldn't be my choice of fucking land weapons.
I think the fact that she like gives him the little like quiz about option one. How did you know that part?
With her sulky face.
Yeah. With her squinty. Poison.
I've just got to bring it up, in terms of like preposterously insane parts. How did she manage to sneak onto this boat, stay underneath the boat, hang out there long enough, and then just come out and fucking scare Kevin Bacon?
So what was happening?
Boats aren't very big places, right?
And have you ever been on a boat like that? What's the first thing you do? Oh my God, show me your boat. This thing's massive.
Absolutely.
What was actually happening downstairs, though?
A hiding girl.
Whatever you do, don't go in that cupboard.
Yeah.
There was the barber surgeon, actually, down in the cabin, and he was getting, like, dyeing the hair.
Fixing her teeth.
Like, yeah. That's actually when it happened.
Oh, good. By the way, don't go down there, bro.
The biggest dick move in this movie was your guy's favorite, Bill Murray. How did he know that Neve Campbell was going to be the final, like, survivor of all these people? There were so many variables. Many people could have died. Like, there were so many, like, sort of almost awkward kill scenes that could have gone either way.
Yeah.
And he knew that she was going to be the last one and turns up. Like, why would he even come? Why would he even arrive?
I feel like he's playing 4D chess and he probably had an agreement with every single fucking one of them.
100%. Like, there were so many more people involved in this than needed to be. That's the problem. And he was the dick move because he was going to win regardless.
I have to disagree with you because he's a lawyer.
But he was condoning murder.
Because the rest of them weren't. Shit, man.
Yeah, he's the moral compass of this film. Is that what you're saying?
Look, man. Sorry, I'd have to disagree because you almost expect the lawyers to be dicks. You know,
you do.
I'm sorry to all the lawyers out there who are.
Oh, we've got thousands of lawyers.
Yeah, you guys are throwing the most cash to our Patreon, and thank you. Like, we're getting to get a lot of KFC out of today.
Stop suing me, yeah.
But you kind of expect a lawyer to be a dick.
I just thought it was a real dick move and almost preposterous.
My top 3, coming in at number 3. Getting the couple Randy and then walking away, as we discussed. That was a bit of a dick move.
He should have just fucked her. He's fucked everyone else.
Exactly. Who hasn't he fucked at this point? You're right. Number 2, her mum dismounting the pool boy and answering the phone in the middle of sex.
Dismounting.
Dismounting is the best way to describe it.
I mean, the hired help was dismissed, right? Like,
yeah.
That's all he was.
Yeah, followed it up with, "No one's handled my boat like you have, Sam."
Yeah.
Quotes I'd love to hear after.
Have you heard that a few times,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And then, yeah, the final one. We've already talked about it. Biggest dick move, Kevin Bacon. Swinging hog. That was a pretty big dick. And it moved.
Were you impressed?
I was jealous.
Oh, yeah. Would you stand at the urinal next to Kevin Bacon?
No.
You'd hug the corner, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking that too. Like, as he's like 6 feet back, like leaning backwards with two hands outstretched,
yeah,
and you're huddled in the corner, you know.
I'm a grower, not a shower.
He's like one of those sort of like got a selfie stick type people, yeah, just like fucking guiding it towards the area it's supposed to be in. Yeah.
You mean Kevin Bacon not short on meat?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, exactly.
Massive hog.
Can I just add a little bit there that the fact that Sam Hurley just made this into a top three, dick move, motherfucker.
Biggest dick move. We all get one option and yeah, it's a trump up.
I'll just go top three. Fuck you.
A lot of dick moves. Well, like, we're not even talking about like the main ones. We've gone for like the weird obscure ones because there's a lot of fucking massive dick moves.
Look, fair call. I'm still going to call you out on it.
Yeah. Filming a couple of girls getting it on in the fucking pool. Kind of a dick move. Oh, I've gone into number four. Yeah.
No, I kind of approved of that one. It's just personal opinion.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Hey, Sam, what about question number 10?
Question number 10 is also a Patreon question. This question comes courtesy of the woman, Emily Higgins, that we mentioned before, that gave us her hyperbole sandwich. Emily is going to be on an upcoming episode, either next week or the week after, where me, Machu, and her are going to do Demolition Man. Can't wait for that, because Machu hates Sandra Bullock. I mean, Machu is not a fan. I mean, Machu has opinions about Sandra Bullock, so that's going to be exciting, whereas Emily is Sandra's biggest fan. Go check out her podcast, Tasteless. It's just awesome. Anywho, Emily's question. What movie would you guys pair with this to make a double feature?
It's got to be Cruel Intentions.
It does.
It's got to be.
It does. It absolutely fucking does.
They're sort of, you know, released about the same time. Mm. They're both sort of the same sort of genre. I don't know. They just...
Erotic thriller.
Is that the thriller genre that you put on this?
Erotic thriller. Yeah.
See, I've searched that and I've been banned from my ISP provider.
Hey, aren't you the IT guy at work?
And?
And roll out into 50 different countries. What are you trying to say about it?
Fickle. Look, I thought that was going to be the go-to. I've gone, I feel like a little bit on a tangent, and I've taken a theme from the film, which is the kind of the courtroom aspect. And I've gone Rainmaker. So you're seeing the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because you see the court case of a, what do we call this thriller? A raunchy thriller.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a up-and-coming lawyer, you know, trying to take this and defend his client. And I feel like that's kind of the other side to this, you know? Mm. It's a balancing.
You're going out like a yin-yang.
Yin-yang. Yeah.
Evening it out.
Evening it out. That's kind of the aspect I've gone for.
Interestingly, Emily paired this with Gone Girl, said Wild Things is a better film than Gone Girl. Mm. And I'm going to go out on a limb and piss off every David Fincher film fan and say, yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. I liked Gone Girl.
Loved Gone Girl. It's enjoyable, but it's nowhere near as enjoyable as this.
It's not as much.
Did you pick up on it?
To be honest, when it came on, I closed my eyes a little bit.
It's annoying when you're sitting next to the missus and you're like, you can't look.
Sometimes I take a good movie and wreck it with a bit of smut, and I just don't like letting that infiltrate. Opinions of the movie.
That's why would you watch an extended version of the film?
Yeah.
You know.
I'm pretty proud that you guys watched this with your missus. I told Stacey about it and told her what it was about, and she said, sweet, I'm going out, and she hasn't come back.
Context to that, right? Like, as the swimming pool scene commences, and it starts off with the kind of, it's quite physical, not in the attempted sense that you think. It's attempted murder, right? Yeah. And Caroline receives a phone call at just the right time where the tent is being pitched.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And just like, Karen's like, oh, I'm going to take the phone. I'm like, yep, no worries. Goes to the door behind you. Full surround sound comes on.
Just like, check me the tissues.
It was just Mika and I.
And great. You slowed it down to 0.3 speed.
It was, yeah. It was great times.
Mean. I have no idea where the fuck that came from. Proud of you, man. Proud of you. Anywho, let's move us over to our personal questions that we thought of while we were watching this film. Dory, you're up. What do you got?
Dory's question number one from Dory.
Hi, guys.
Would you rather pull out your own tooth or get someone to pull your tooth out for you?
There's a thing called a dentist.
No, but like if you were doing it like no. hillbilly style, yeah. like in, at 2 a.m,
yeah.
you had to get rid of a tooth.
Yeah.
Would you rather get the pliers and rip that fucker out yourself, or would you get me to do it?
Easy answer.
Yeah, I'd rather do it myself.
Nah.
Could disagree. You do it yourself, disagree. Do you think? I don't think you could.
Look,
I know you well. You're a pussy. There's no way you could do it.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
When your tooth feels just fine.
Yeah.
And you got to inflict that pain on yourself. Like, do you think you could break your own arm, or do you think someone would? It would be easier to get someone to break your arm.
I reckon just like
you couldn't
because you got to be mentally prepared for it, right? And I feel like sitting there waiting for someone to do it, I'm too impatient.
Well, what does she do?
Because I'm like somebody. What am I going to do? I'd be like, ah, fuck you, and just fucking do it myself.
What was she doing? She was getting pretty fucked up. She was having shots of whatever she was having. She was getting drunk, right?
Mm.
Yeah. What's your answer?
Same approach. I'll get someone else to do it.
Yeah, I think it's the only way I could do it.
I'd get someone else to do it. I'd to the point where, yep, give me a couple of shots of tequila, pin me back. Usually it goes into something else, but this time around, pull my tooth out.
Have one of your mum's Valiums.
If I was drunk, I'd do it myself. I know I'd do it myself. I'd be too impatient to be... I'd be too scared that they were going to be too much of a pussy and, you know, feel too sorry for you. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah. I hear what you're saying. The worst thing you'd want is you get someone to do it and then they fucking back out halfway.
Yeah, because they've
you
got...
You know, they're going, you know, at it and then it's like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah, finish me off, man. Fucking don't leave me here.
Yeah. And we're still talking about teeth.
I'm cringing just thinking about it. Question number two from Dory. Who is the most sinister character in this movie?
This is a hard one because I... legitimately feel like there's a three-way tie for the first and then there's Kevin Bacon.
You know? Oh, here we go. Three fucking answers again.
No. Come on, man.
I just sort of mean, who's the most evil?
I mean, you feel like it's Neve Campbell because she's manipulated everybody into doing all this shit.
And she won.
Yeah. And that's what that's the thing, whereas like part of me just doesn't like Denise Richards. You know? Like part of me feels like she was evil.
They're
all fucking evil.
So who's your third tie?
Oh, Matt Dillon. Matt Dillon was... Yeah. What the fuck are you up to, bro?
I still feel like you've ruled out Kevin Bacon too early.
He just seemed like too much of a dum-dum. Like, admittedly, he just went out of his way to kill Denise Richards. Whereas, like, Neve Campbell went out of his way to kill fucking all of them.
Yeah, but he's still got the agenda running away. Right?
Why did her mum let him in?
Buzzer.
Oh, yeah.
That's an answer for earlier, right?
And then he just cruised out the back.
Hey, it's the cops.
Let me in now. Yeah, I'm going to go shoot your daughter.
But, yeah.
Fucking point. That's why she let him in. She wanted to get rid of her fucking stupid daughter.
Good answers. My last question is, of all the sort of people who collude together to pull off this massive heist, I've alluded that they included way too many people in this plan. So if you had to pick one of these characters to pull off something similar, and you just picked one because you're not a fucking idiot, who would you pick?
Speak for yourself.
Look, I'm hoping she's learned a little bit from the first time around that went wrong. maybe my head's not in the right space about being successful.
Oh, one of your heads is in the right space.
But I'm going to try and do this with Denise.
Denise Richards.
Yeah, just because, like, fuck, if we fail.
Kelly Van Ryn.
If we fail, at least I gave this a shot and, you know, might get something on the way.
But the thing is, like, I think if she's hard up for you like she was for Matt Dillon, she'll go along with shit.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. If you need to ditch her later on, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, pretty easy and to do
fine.
That.
She'll be fine.
Well, she got the fucking trust fund anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's more where that came from. Along the journey, you're getting a good, solid...
Actions don't translate well to a podcast.
I was about to say, my God, listeners, if you see what Mitch is doing right now.
Sam, yeah. Sam, who would you pick to collude with in the sinister plan?
As much as I've shat on him and Denise Richards is taken off the table, probably Kevin Bacon. I mean, he's a cop.
No, hold on.
No, no, but the thing is, like, he...
That's a massive hog.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You even put a question there. What were you going to steal? Like, you know, what were you going to heist? I'd heist a hog. This guy knows how to fucking steal hogs. He's got a hog. That's one fresh Harley Davidson sitting out of my garage, man. And he's expendable. Like, we see he's a dum-dum who's, like, infatuated with guys. So, like, after I'm done with him, I'll just fucking kick him off Dory's boat. I mean, fucking anyone's boat.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. Points to Mitch. You picked the right answer.
Of course he's well, Sam. That was my first choice, but
Sam, everyone on the podcast, the dedicated listeners that have been wondering for a number of episodes.
Now we know
they,
you.
They got some answers just here.
Sam Hog Hurley.
Hog.
I just want a hog in my garage.
Can we just call him Hog from now on?
Yeah, Bacon Hog, you know, it's just,
yeah.
Just works. Yep. Well, on that, on the Kevin Bacon note, and moving on to my questions. No porn parody question this week, guys.
Nope.
But what is the name of Kevin Bacon's film that he's awkwardly filming in the bushes?
I liked that the detective chief or whatever pointed out, looks like you're trying to make a porno.
Oh.
Because it does.
100%.
Absolutely.
Well, he's filming two girls hooking up in a pool. So, yeah. It was a porno.
Well, as most great films that we've watched, I think that we'd agree that that's how we'd like most of them to begin.
Watched, not finished. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So you're asking me what I would call it?
What would you dub the...
Well, shameless plug here, but I would call it Getting Wet with Dory.
Oh my fucking God.
Nicely done. And if you follow the link, you'll find...
Something that you wish you'd never clicked on.
I have a kayak fishing channel that's about to launch, and it's called Getting Wet with Dory. And if you avid kayak fishermen out there on the movie podcast would like to see some absolutely explosive action adventure, you should follow.
What about you, Sam?
Yeah, easy answer for me. Two girls, one cop.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
That makes so much sense. Yeah. Oh, I talked about it with you last night. I was like, two girls, one pool? Nah, two girls, one cop. There we go.
Punny.
Yeah, punny. I like it. Very good. Moving on to my second question, who would you cast as Denise's character if the movie was made today?
So Denise was 27 when this film came out, so she was playing a teenager. Neve Campbell's about 24.
Okay.
So for me, I was trying to find an actress who was in her late 20s that looks gorgeous and is built for the role, I think we'll call
built.
It.
Built. Yeah, I see what you're doing there.
Yep. Be polite about it. Kate Upton. Kate Upton.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah, nice.
She's built for the role.
She's built for the role, but she also has that look of like all-American cheerleader, sweetheart type, slightly sinister, you know, because you need that, you know.
Sure.
Hand action.
Sorry, hand actions don't work in this podcast.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why I'm doing a hand action. Well, it's not the one you're thinking of, listeners. Yeah, I'm definitely doing a hand action.
There's some hand actions in this podcast.
It was definitely more of a Parkinson's type hand action.
Having a stroke. But I'll let you guys work out what type of stroke.
What about you, Dory?
I went for someone a little bit more obscure. I've been really enjoying Sexual Education on Netflix recently.
Oh, yes.
And in the most recent season, Otis has a new girlfriend. And her name is Ruby in the show, but her real name is Mimi Keene.
Mimi Keene. Look, I must admit, I have not... I'm very much a Netflix viewer. I haven't watched Sex Education, but... Sam's going to bring her up on the screen right now, as he has with Kate Upton, and clearly lost my concentration as Dory was describing his answer.
Once again,
all right, Mimi Keene, she's kind of like a
she's British,
brunette.
She's young. She's kind of like a Denise Richards type in the sense that she's young, she's petite, yet still very much built for the role.
All right. And would never sleep with any of us. Yeah, she definitely is a Denise Richards type.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, on that note, on characters of the movie, what character in this movie would be your spirit animal?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about him. It's Bill Murray. It's fucking, of course it's Bill Murray. It's like this happy-go-lucky, you know, hey, we'll see you at the club. Yeah, fuck your club. You know what I mean?
You know what I love actually about him is when he knows he's in the right situation. He's got everyone by the balls and he goes to that wacky restaurant for a feed.
Yeah.
And for a drink.
Yeah.
I'm like, you are the boss. No, you haven't taken this and gone to a fancy restaurant. You've gone to like some place where you're happy, you know, and you're
which
just
is
like,
me.
I know. Which is me. That's why I love it.
I can't remember who it was, Groucho Marx or something like that, who said something like, I don't want to be a part of any club that would have me. And that's like the way I sort of live my life. And the same with Bill Murray is like, see you at the club. He's like, be at your fucking club. Why the fuck would I want to be there?
Yeah, I like that. What about you, Dory?
I think I would be principal.
Fuck off.
The principal.
The principal,
yeah.
You know what?
How?
Well,
I know you too well, Dory.
I feel like.
You like telling a guy named Sam to get the fuck out of your building?
He didn't tell him to. He didn't.
He had
his back the whole time.
He was just that embrace.
Yeah,
he was a loyal friend, and he saw the good in everyone, just like me. And all he did was get shat on by all his mates, and everyone was just playing him the whole time. And I feel like I walk through life pretty aimlessly with friends that are just stabbing me in the back all the time. And
hey, on that note, do you know who you really are?
Who?
There's the guy at the start, and then when they write down on the board sex crimes, and they go, do you guys know what a sex crime is? And that dude in the crowd's like, yeah, not getting any. That's fucking you, bro.
100% that's Dory. He's the one that would call out your mid-fucking speech, or you're describing something, and halfway through,
he's
the guy that's kicking you down.
Absolutely.
When you're in the trenches.
When you've like hadn't jack shit to say to anyone, you're like, finally got my time to shine, got attention on me, given a little talk, and then Dory's like, I'm not fucking having this. I need to be the center of attention.
We love you. We love you, Dory.
See? Always stab him in the back. I am the fucking principal.
Anywho, that takes me down to my questions. So, yeah. First question, what percentage of this town do you guys reckon Matt Dillon's character has boned?
Okay, so he's basically fucked all the attractive women between the age of about 15 and 45. Well, he's boning school kids, right?
Yeah, but they're 18, so it's consensual age. Consensual age is 18 in America, by the way.
I understand, but I don't think this guy's sort of concerned with that.
He clearly doesn't play within the rules,
he's murdering fucking people, so no, he doesn't give a
shit. So within the town, like, he's a good-looking rooster, and he gets lots of attention, so he wouldn't be fucking any mingers. So I'm going to say he's fucked like 30% of the women that are all the attractive ones between that age bracket.
Yeah. I'm kind of on your wavelength.
Yeah, and then I figure that he's probably fucked about 20% of the dudes.
Yeah.
And now, so.
So a quarter of the population, probably.
No, I've gone with 52%. See, 20% of the dudes, 30% of the women. I don't want to tell you where the other 2% come from, but.
Oh, Jesus.
Look, mate, I can't fault your math.
That'll be
I can't fault your math there.
Okay, well, I can. Because he's talking about 20% of dudes and 30% of women. That doesn't equal 50% of the population.
Oh, you're saying generally.
That is 25% of the population.
Yeah.
I'm just choosing to ignore a certain fucking comment he's made. I'm just going straight for the fact. 20 or 30% is 25% of the population.
I think what you've underplayed there is probably the milk factor. Let's agree for around a 50 to 60%.
I can't wait to see how much of this I edit. Anywho, let's move me over to my next question. Would you guys spend 3 months in an American jail for a shot at sharing $8.5 million? And by the way, when we get introduced to that jail, we start off with Guy looking at him and going, so you're the new chicken licker.
To be honest, 3 months for that amount of cash? My short answer is yes. The context to this is you need to have a very good plan.
Right. You could do that on your knees, bro.
Valid. You give it a crack. Providing there's a good plan in place, then why wouldn't you? If you have morals.
Which I think is the problem, is that there's not a good plan in place, because these people are
You didn't stipulate that in the question.
No.
I said, there's 3 other idiots as well as part of this plan. It's a shot at sharing $8.5 million.
I'd do it. I turn up to work every day to work with you fuckheads. I get harassed. I get molested. And I do it for a
You get molested.
And you get $8.5 million, right?
And I get a mere fraction of that amount for 3 months. Like, the scarring, I may not show it on the outside, but internally, Fuck, it's taken its toll. And I think if you could put like a termination date on that and I just had to survive 3 more months, I could do it.
You're braver than me, and this is what I love about these questions, listeners, is you don't have to answer them yourself, so let's move on. As I mentioned, these guys were here for the Showgirls episode, so I want to know from you guys, what do you guys reckon was hotter? The pool scene in this, the pool scene in Showgirls, and I'll throw it out there as a bit of a wild card, the pool scene in Old School, you know, when Stifler and Will Ferrell make out. No, when Stifler gives Will Ferrell CPR and...
Yeah.
Yeah, he starts, he's fucking Frenching me, man.
Look, I'll kick this one off. The fact that we transition from quite an aggressive scene to a sexual scene.
Which one are you talking about?
Oh, the pool scene.
Which pool scene are you talking about? Every single one of them starts off quite aggressive.
Well, no, I think there's the fact where there's, you know, there's a... I think there's real death in question here. Like, mind you, the first time I'm watching it here, the fact that flips around from a choking scene into a finger in the mouth is what probably puts this one across the line.
Okay.
It's this one. there's no question for me. Like, this whole movie's made its entire... What did it gross? What did it make?
$62.8 million.
Bonus.
$67.2 US.
Fuck, what
million
did I say?
Dollars.
What did I say?
That's pretty close. How much of that, like, oh, do you say, like, 60 million of that 67 was basically from that one scene? Like, come out of this
it's
movie,
infamous,
what are you talking about? It's the best, it's the probably most iconic sex scene in a film. I'm going to go that far.
Yeah, no.
Well, what's a more iconic sort of like sex scene?
Sharon Stone and Michael Douglas and Basic Instinct.
Yeah, that's up there.
Yeah. Team America Will Police.
Yeah. that's up there too. That should be on the list. Team America Will Police is a very good sex scene.
Anywho, that's enough of that. Let's move us down to our last question. Also a Patreon question, comes courtesy of our man Chris Yenny. Fuck you, the man, Chris. That's all I gotta say. You're the fucking man. Love you. Anywho, his question this week, what song would you guys insert into this film and where? And we usually try to be as on the nose as possible.
So, I'm going straight to the credits, right? And you're getting to see all the explanations to what actually went down.
Yep. Yeah.
So I'm going for like a real upbeat finish to this. Skrillex, Bangarang.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
So like
Bangarang.
And then you're like... Yeah, and then you're just like, oh, fuck, that happened. Bangarang!
Yeah, next I can one. See it.
Bangarang!
That's good. I like it.
Reckon?
Yeah, that's good. I went with what I thought was pretty obvious, and I'm surprised that I'm going to get it now and it hasn't been taken. Yeah, with a Katy Perry number.
I kissed a girl and I liked it.
Taste of her
cherry chapstick.
That's good, bitch. I like that. Okay. Yeah, and you knew where I was going too. That's
I can hit the tones when
please
I need to.
Please don't sue us, Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Sorry, it was that. It was that accurate.
It was that accurate.
If you, if you Shazammed that, it would come up.
You reckon it would work? Yeah,
100%.
Fuck, I'm trying that.
It's obvious, but it would work, right?
Yeah. It would. Yeah. Absolutely.
So this goes to the point of the remake. That would be in it. I reckon it would.
Is it too corny?
Yeah, I feel like it's not corny enough in some ways for this fucking film.
That's
Jesus
the thing
Christ.
With this. You can get away with it. That's what I love about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Samwise?
I was going to go with the Trog's Wild Thing, but that's just fucking too obvious. I think I love you.
Wild
and then,
Thing!
There we go.
Bow!
Yeah, and I Kissed the Girl and I Liked It. That was up there as well. But I'm going to go with one that hasn't been used on this podcast yet because we've retired a ton of songs. I'm going to go with Alice Cooper's Poison.
Yeah.
When she poisons him.
Yeah, it would work.
Poison. Yeah.
Your lips are venomous poison. There we go.
That song. Yeah.
You're running it through my veins.
Running through my veins.
It makes
you're
just,
good, bitch.
Yeah, you are good. You are good.
Thanks, guys.
And that's it. That's it. We're done. I think we can go relieve ourselves now and watch this movie for
wrap it up.
A couple of the favourite scenes. Thank you so much to Mitch for coming back, man. It's been so long.
Thanks for having me. It has been a little while, and thank you for all the awesome questions that we've had. Not from you two fuckers, but from all the contributors who've made this thing quite interesting. Thank you, people.
Thank you, Patreons. You guys are paying for my KFC addiction. You guys are amazing. And thank you, Dory,
It may be a shock to some listeners that I'm actually in this podcast because I feel like 90% of what I've said is going to get edited out. But I appreciate you involving me, Sam. Thanks, guys.
No probs. Upcoming episodes, as I mentioned, Demolition Man starring me, Emily, and Machu.
I'm pretty sure Sylvester Stallone's in that one too.
Ah, fuck him. I do a better mumble voice than he does any fucking day, so fuck that guy.
You got it. He's a wog, you know. He's a wog, man.
Listeners, the term that Mitch just used is an Australian slang term for somebody of Southern Europe descent, so typically Greek, Italian, or in Mitch's case, Maltese. So, yeah. Definitely not the offensive term that you guys are thinking of, America. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You're entitled to say that. And
Say that.
Yes, you can say that because you're a one of two. So we're just going to move along. Anywho, thank you again, everyone, for listening. As Mitch mentioned, thank you to our Patreons for contributing and keeping the lights on. It's awesome. Giving you guys the upcoming episodes. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can find us on Twitter at Movie Reviews In, where we are our most prolific. Or you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Movie Reviews and 20Qs. Or send us an email at mritqs@gmail.com. Anyway, yeah, that's thanks from me.
You can also find us at hashtag Getting Wet with Dory. Find us on Pornhub/Getting Wet with
Dory's run away to have a smoke. Bye.